Francis Maurer. Today's Bible verse is taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. That is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This ends the Bible. Amen.
Morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to be here, and I'm privileged to stand this morning. I really want to say that it also blesses my heart that I'm in a church building where I don't need to look up and scream hallelujah instead of the ceiling fan. The sermon this morning is the appointment. I want to ask a question. Why am I here? I mean, it's a Sunday morning, yeah. I have to go to church, yeah. But the fundamental question is, why am I here? You know, sometimes you might really say, oh, because I have an appointment with the Lord, it's a Sunday morning, I need to go to church, and all that. Well, I'll take us through the journey. You know, sometimes in our lives, we have appointments. I mean, I'm not an appointment with Granluk. No, Granluk, we need to go to some time. Sometimes I might just cancel that from those. Sorry, I can't really pick up the appointment because certain things came up, okay, and things like that. So, appointments. But this morning we're going to look at the appointment. You know, when we look at the English word "the," it's a definite tense. You know, very specific. And so this morning we're going to look at what is the appointment we're going to be talking about this morning. You know, there are times that in our secular lives, we have certain appointments that we wish that the whole world would stand still for us to meet up with the appointment. And when we talk about such appointments, you know, we have features that cover such appointments. First of all, you prepare for such an appointment. I mean, let's say, for example, you have an interview for a great job coming up. I mean, I could recall when I was waiting for my capture of my biometrics in my country, where my visa was my year. You know, such an appointment that is so important to you that you want to give up everything to meet up such an appointment. So, when we look at some of these features that cover such an appointment, the first one we're going to be looking at is your preparation. You know, basically, you get prepared for it. I recall some weeks ago, Rafael was telling us about an exam he wrote and all that. I really want to understand that for him to spend sleepless nights, weeks before the exam, that is the appointment. Very important to Rafael. Nothing will come in his way between him and such an appointment. I mean, my brother Power is preparing for his Bible, for his doctorate. Next month in January, 3 months ago, he said preparing for his Bible. I mean, with such, the whole world will have to wait for him to meet up, because this is what he has been preparing for 4 years, 2 hours at a time. So, one of the key features of the appointment is preparation. One has to be prepared. Because, I mean, think about it. You can't be going in for any appointment without getting prepared for it. An interview, exam, whatsoever, you need to prepare. One. Two, time is critical. Is there any appointment without time? I mean, can we think of any? No. So time is critical, and I mean, I've actually come to respect English culture. Most appointments, you have to be there 10 minutes before the time, you know, very critical. So when you have an appointment, when you have the appointment, you need to understand that preparing and timing is also critical for it. Thirdly,
One of the features is that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I mean, we have an appointment, it's raining, I'll just tell my so sorry, I can't really make up the appointment for the job interview because it's raining, right? It doesn't matter. Rain or no rain, storm or no storm, I hit the road to make up the appointment. I will be prepared and going in for time and all that. So this are the features of the appointment. I'm talking about the appointment, not just an appointment. Now, coming straight up to our sermon this morning, I want us to go back to the text projected. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. Okay. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting him. Church, I want to ask you, is there appointment? It is appointed unto a man once to die. It means that all will surely meet death someday. You know, there's something very fundamental about the human nature, I keep saying. By default, no one wants to die, right? From my experience in the professional world, you know, there's something that the marketing psychologists use in selling products. Three key factors, they appeal to your time, they appeal to love, that is emotions, they appeal to death. Three key factors. So if you actually study the advertising world, that is what they appeal to. And so anything that has to do with prolonging your life, you go for it. Anything that has to do with saving your time, you go for it. Technology. Anything that has to appeal to your emotions, you go for it. Now that is the human nature by default. So by default, the human nature tries to appeal to death. But fundamentally, the scripture is making us to understand that you cannot escape death. It is the appointment. It's not an appointment. It is fundamental that as long as we all are in this vessel, this is not the nature of God. So when you come to church and you come to worship, you ask yourself fundamentally, why am I here? Am I here because it's just convenient for me to be here, or I'm here to serve God, knowing that I'm going to put off this vessel. And that which is a Francis in me that is making me to speak and to breathe and to act is going to return back. So as long as you have that rooted deep in you, you will know that the appointment is at hand. You know, there are some religious bodies that feel that, look, the reincarnation stuff, I mean, the one dies, you come back in another life, and all that. I know back then in my culture, there is this perception that sometimes when someone dies, you know, they see he goes somewhere else, perhaps to correct things that he has gone wrong in his previous life and all that. This passage, Hebrews 9:27, has done that. It's appointed unto a man how many times to die? Once. It's just once. And again, man is not just like any other creature. We have a soul that's going to go back. It's going to go back to face the judgment. And so, what you ask yourself is, how prepared I need for this appointment. We give all that we can to prepare for every appointment, but this, the appointment, how well am I prepared for it? How much time do I have to get prepared for this? I mean, before I was born, you know, being told about the second coming of Christ, now look at and all that and all that, and then we just move on. But you know, most times when we talk about the second coming of Christ, people just think it's just okay only when Christ appears. But sometimes we fail to realize that we don't have control over death. It comes any time. But something very fundamental that we need to ask ourselves is, when it comes, am I prepared? Because after that, we're going to face judgment. I mean, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 26 and 27. Please, I'll be a reader. Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. Verses 26 and 27. Yes. What is your works? What am I doing? Am I prepared? How worthy enough do I know that when Christ comes, you will say, oh, Francis, my beloved, please, you've done well. Come and be with me for eternity. You know, sometimes that gives me a scare, I would say. Now, verse 27 of our text, Hebrews chapter 9. Is one, is the appointment we're talking about there. When we read verse 28, it's talking about those who look forward for his second coming. So Christ, having been offered once, only once, to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Now, when Christ comes second time, second coming is going to be healing the sick, not dying again for sinners. No. So it's not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The appointment. As rhetorical as this question is, how many of you actually look forward to the second coming of Christ? Do you think about it? You know, I was having a discussion with someone some time ago. I said, look, the second coming of Christ presents two different angles to different people. The first set, some are eagerly waiting, oh, Christ is coming, I can't wait for Christ to come. And then the other group are like, he gives his care. And he just doesn't even want to come because they are not prepared for it. And what, you know, very unfortunate to say, if you're not prepared, that means you're not of Christ. I'll say it again. If you're not prepared for the second coming of Christ, it means you are not of Christ. You know, when Paul wrote what that passage read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And each time, very popular reading. Yes, please. Also, to those who love his appearing, I most times I read this passage and I said, what a bold comment. I mean, I actually tell myself that I've fought the fight. I have kept the faith. Now I am ready to be poured out. My brother was praying for those in the Middle East, Damascus. You know, sometimes when missionaries go there and they find the fortunate and come, okay, renounce your faith or you get your head put on your shoulder. And sometimes you just imagine, you know, someone's faith is just closed and looking like the sword dangling in the hand of the executioner and renounce. Or you go off and say, look, I feel to renounce, I'm ready. Very bold. Now I'm telling myself that yes, I have kept the faith. But you know, brethren, it's something that we need, just like Psalms in the book of Psalm 21. The only way that we can have the appointments always ahead of us is when we think about this day and night. Most times, you know, because of regular activities, the world tends to be like matrix, making us think about the things that are more of perishable things, day in, day out. And we, after today, reading the scriptures, it's the next Lord's Day, we're back again with the scriptures, and we go back from Sunday afternoon till Sunday morning next week, and it goes on like that, like a cycle. Like, most times we fail to identify that we create a gap and we get detached from the reality of the scriptures, especially about Christ. But one thing is very pertinent here, that the appointment is awaiting. We have the control of that. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 has something to say to us. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Now, this being said, brethren, this is the appointment that is happening to all mankind, Christians of the race, tribe, culture, your beliefs. So you ask yourself this question by the features of the appointment. How prepared am I? I mean, what do I need to put into preparation for the appointment that is at hand? Am I putting in time as a factor? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Am I actually redeeming the time? What manner of presence ought me to be, knowing that this time is at hand? Am I going to keep living by default the way I'm living? Or I'll wake up to the reality of this fact. You know, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, taking this to us. You know, before we read this, there is always this passage sometimes that gives me books. I just think about it and I try to put it into perspective, to look at it and to understand for one who is unprepared Because knowing the fact that he writes in the book of Revelation, that on that day, it's going to be a day that many will not look forward to. And sometimes I need to look at it in time. And the great, the small, the poor, the rich, all standing. That in fact, many will wish for death to come. saying that on that day, many will stand and will wish for death to come. But you know what? Death itself will not come. Why? Because death itself is also standing to be judged. You will jump into the sea, the sea will spit you out and say, look, I have no more power to take life. You walk into the fire will just be as calm as what I say, look, I have no more power. Because the power of death is gone. And so, when you understand the fact that the end time is going to be standing for eternal reward, either for good or for evil. And most times I tell myself that, oh, perhaps it's going to be for like 1,000 years, or like 10,000, or like 1,000,000 years. Perhaps there might be some comfort, you know, that time will come sometime and, you know, it'll just be off the punishment. But no, it says it's going to be for eternity. That is time without end. So you ask yourself, what manner of persons ought I to be? That I have this opportunity living right now to get prepared for the appointment. So in the book of 2 Peter 4:17, it says something very critical. That judgment is going to start from where? The council of God, that is the church. I mean, we're talking to ourselves right now, correcting ourselves, you know, we make mistakes, so we need to change our ways. Look at your heirs. I can recall the past couple of weeks, Bregari, Maloki, text being very similar. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been encompassed by such a great cloud of witness, thou should do what? Run the race that is set for us. Put it off. So you ask yourself, what luggage are you carrying? It's a luggage of anger. Put it off. Because it's going to affect your preparation for the appointment. Is it addiction? Put it off. Because it's going to affect preparation for the appointment. Whatever your weakness is. Because you have such a great level of weakness from chapter 11 of Hebrews. They all have passed through one thing or the other that most of us are struggling with. So you have no excuse. Because they will come and say, oh, I passed through that and I overcame. So you have no excuse. The evils of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews will either witness against you or witness for you. And so, judgment is starting in the house of God. So for us, who are already in the house of God, what manner of persons, what's our act in preparing for the appointment? And then for those who are yet to accept this calling, it's an opportunity because the time, you know, sometimes you might just ask, so what is the time? The time is now. This time. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8 says something very, very scary. I will use the word. How many of you saying that? 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8.
It reads,
yes, please.
And give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus will appear from heaven in blazing fire. It is powerful angels. Verse 8 now says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you very much. James says, taking vengeance against those who do not know God, and also against those who do not obey the gospel. And so the calling this time, you're here this morning, and you're here to give yourself to the gospel. True baptism, this is the opportunity because the appointment is at time. And it's an earnest prayer in the church that as we live day and night, let us always have it in our consciousness that the time we live in is not ours. We're going to give account how we are planning this time. Because that is our promise that is coming. It's an earnest prayer that the good Lord Almighty will help us that as we have been called, that we will live worthy of the calling. And for those who have not yielded to this call, that we will yield to this calling. That in the end, we all